and welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. I've been talking about it on Twitter recently, and I'm so excited to share with all of you my conversation with the writers of the musical adaptation of the 2007 movie Teeth, Michael R. Jackson and Anna K. Jacobs. When I found out this adaptation was being workshopped, I tracked them down, and they were gracious enough to give me some of their time to chat about what it was like to adapt this movie and why they love horror in general. And at the time of this recording, they weren't able to give me the details of the first ever mounting of Teeth, but it was announced a few days later that it's going to be part of Playwrights Horizon's 2023-2024 season, and it's going to be staged in February. So that's really exciting. One more thing before we get into this episode. If you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. All right. I've rambled enough. So let's get into my conversation with Michael R. Jackson and Anna K. Jacobs. This week, I'm so excited because I have the writers behind the musical adaptation of the 2007 movie Teeth on the show, with book and music by Jonathan Larson and Billy Burke Ziegfeld, award-winning composer, lyricist, and book writer Anna K. Jacobs, and the book and lyrics by Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, composer, and lyricist best known for the 2022 Tony Award winning Best Musical, A Strange Loop, Michael R. Jackson. I am so excited to talk with them both about what led them down the path for adapting Teeth into a musical. So let's welcome Michael R. Jackson and Anna K. Jacobs onto the show. Thank you both so much for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So why don't you start by telling everyone a little bit about yourselves?
You go first, Michael.
I'm Michael R. Jackson, and I'm a book writer, lyricist, and composer. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, originally, and I moved to NYU when I was 18 to go to NYU, where I studied playwriting and then subsequently musical theater writing again at NYU for grad school. And I've been, you know, writing ever since.
And I am originally from Sydney, Australia, and I moved to the United States when I was 25 years old, originally to pursue classical music, and then quickly discovered that that was not my jam. And like Michael, found myself at the graduate musical theater writing program at NYU, 3 years behind him. But that's where the two of us met and befriended one another, and originally became one another's fans, and then ultimately decided to work together on a show.
Awesome. That's lovely. So the first thing I always ask everyone when they come on is, what's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know if it technically counts as a scary movie, but the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Of course that counts. Yeah, definitely. That's a great
one. It's high up there for me.
Awesome.
I struggle with this question because I'm like, do you mean horror movie or do you mean movies that I personally find scary? Because I have a very low threshold for being terrified. But I think if we're talking about like genre films, like It would be it for me. I think after I saw that, I couldn't walk near sewers for a long time.
That's a great pick. I haven't seen the original version, but I did see the remake in 2017. So I really like that. It's very scary. So how did you each fall in love with the horror genre? What sparked your interest?
I think for me, horror movies really stress me out. Like, and they're very, like, I find them very stressful to watch, but I think that's why I'm drawn to them. My friend Joel and I have this sort of, we fell into this sort of ritual or pattern over the, like, we just accidentally started just going to see horror movies over the years, like I want to say like 8 to 10 years ago, and we just go and see all of them when they come out. And I just, and some of them are bad and some of them are really good, and but like they all get my blood pumping in a way that is sort of unique to that genre. So I think that's what I like about them.
Like Michael, horror movies also stress me out, and I also have a hyperactive imagination and really cannot watch a horror movie and then be by myself because I will just like relive it in my real world. So I to be perfectly honest, it has never been a genre that I like have sought out specifically. But when I look for projects to work on and turn into musicals, I get very excited about stories or existing source material that's very heightened, because it helps me understand like why music needs to be a part of it. And so the way that the horror genre plays around with your sense of perception and that line between real and unreal really spoke to me. So when Michael came to me with this idea, I was all about it.
Amazing. So let's talk about Teeth, the movie that you're adapting or that you have adapted. I actually recently watched the movie for the first time. I don't know what I was expecting. I knew what it was about. I think I was expecting something more serious. It's not. It's very, very, very comedic. But so Anna, you just said Michael first came to you with the idea for translating it into a musical. Michael, why did you think Teeth would make a good musical?
I don't know whether I thought it would make a good musical or not, but I was drawn to the elements that had to deal with like the religious sort of oppression and sexual shame that's sort of in my sort of wheelhouse of things that I have always thought about as a writer, and I just thought that there might be something to musicalizing that.
Awesome. And Anna, what were your first thoughts when Michael came to you and was like, let's do this and let's make it a musical?
Well, when Michael came to me with this idea, I think it was back in like 2010. And so that was like in an era where there were s still a scarcity of shows that centered heroines or female characters. And so for me, it was really the character of Dawn, who's at the center of Teeth, that made me really excited about this idea and this sort of, superhero journey that's also kind of there at the center of the story alongside the horror elements.
So after you guys got together and decided to adapt it, can you tell me what the process was like for writing the book and the score and the songs and all that?
So I think when we first started writing it, we were part of a writers group, which is a very common phenomenon in musical theater. A group of people working on different projects will get together and check in like monthly and present updates with their scripts and their scores. And so we were doing this writers group at Ars Nova. And I think at the end of the first year, we presented a whole handful of songs from the show in concert. And then at the end of the second year, we presented a full reading, which is sort of like actors behind music stands performing the scenes and the songs all the way through, but with no moving, no blocking or anything like that. And it was a really different piece for the piece it is today, like starkly different.
That's usually how it is with those very early workshops of musicals. I listened to the demo that you so kindly sent me, Anna. It's so fun. I know no one ever likes comparisons, but it kind of reminded me of Heather's musical or Mean Girls. It was just super fun. I still have the songs in my head, which is
Oh,
always
thank
a good
you.
sign. Do either of you have a current favorite song?
From the show?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael, you have to go first on this one.
I mean, there's so many favorites in it. I have to say, I really love the opening number, "Precious Gift." Is always really exciting for me to hear.
Yeah, that's a great one. I really like that.
I mean, something that excites me about the piece is like it goes on a big tonal journey from beginning to end. And we also start off in a world that's slightly more familiar, very evangelical, and we wind up in this sort of mythical world that has this kind of like ancient feminine vibe to it. So when I think about moments I like from the score, they're often moments that like benchmark those two ends of the spectrum. There's a very, very funny song with brilliant lyrics that Michael wrote called Modest is Hottest at the top of the show, which is generally a crowd pleaser. And then there's another song at the end of the show called Dentata, which was for me musically, because I'm the composer on this project, was like my sort of deep dive into like Tori Amos land. And I do really love that one too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love how the lyrics become towards the end about her choice and her wanting to make choices for her own body, and that's so relevant today. Did you write any songs that have been cut since your first drafts of the show?
Quite a
Yeah.
lot.
That's usually how it goes too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to reflect back because it's been such a journey on like what are some of the really big changes we've made. I feel like for us, one of the things was the character Brad, the stepbrother, was a really challenging character for us to pin down. I think in the movie, he's like very goth. And as we've been working on the piece, we've been trying to keep it slightly more contemporary, or like more of the time period that we're working on it in. And so it's meant that we've had to sort of go through multiple iterations of that character. And every time we would sort of rethink that character, out went all of Brad's songs and in went a bunch of new ones.
Oh, that's so interesting. Did you make any major plot changes for practicality's sake, reason, when translating a movie to stage?
Well, I mean, our version is a departure from the film in certain ways. So yes, because of those departures, but we try to sort of stick to the source material as much as we could where it made sense to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the process for us was, we were in constant conversation with Mitchell Lichtenstein, who wrote and directed the original. When I say constant, I mean like periodically we would have check-ins and we'd share our latest drafts. And I think perhaps by virtue of the fact that Mitchell is also an independent artist like us, and made this film independently initially, like I think he was very generous for us to find what our personal ins to the source material were. And I think to Michael's point before, like this sort of tension between religion and sexuality was something that we were especially taken by. And so the way that we've adapted the story definitely puts that tension front and center. There's also just the sheer fact that, like, a bunch of prosthetic penises probably are going to play to different effect on film than on stage. And so we've had to figure out, theatrical ways to make these really scary or really like visceral moments less cinematic and more theatrical, so that they shake the audience in an equal but different way.
I know you've had professional workshops for producers and a concert of 54 Below. What is the audience reaction like to it in general?
I think people are pretty, like, they have a range of emotions because the show takes you on such a ride. And so, but which is to say that, like, it's very positive, but it's like a lot of different. Sometimes they're laughing uproariously, sometimes they're gasping, sometimes it gets surprisingly emotional. So it's like a full range, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say too, like the opportunities that Michael and I have had to showcase different versions of the show have been predominantly for theater audiences. And I know one of the things that we're both really excited about as the show inches towards production is being able to like see how the show resonates with people who are horror fans or fans of the film and perhaps aren't so avid theater goers, and like what the piece will do for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Have you had any, I guess you maybe you wouldn't know, but anyone who's strictly like a horror fan, not generally a theater fan, come to any of the concert versions that you've put on at 54 Below and given you any feedback?
I can't recall anyone, but Anna, maybe you have.
I've definitely spoken to hardcore fans of the film, like people who are like, I've watched this film like 50 times, and And I, you know, and I feel like deep shame that I haven't watched the film as many times as them. But I have not. These were people who also were interested in musical theater, so I actually have not. You know, I don't think we've been able to find those people yet because, you know, we haven't been able to. You know, these were like one-off concerts or like one-off industry readings. We haven't been able to promote the show to people out, really outside of theater circles. So that's the really the next thing for the show.
I think I told you, Anna, that horror fans were very excited when they heard that this was being adapted into a musical. So I know horror
That's
fans
so
are
cool. I
going to
mean,
come
like,
out for it.
there's definitely like a cool genre that we're like standing on the shoulders of. Like, I think about, I have a 7-year-old and he's like obsessed with Little Shop of Horrors right now. But in fact, so he has the same hyperactive imagination as me. He's so obsessed with it that he won't let me take him to see the show because he's too afraid of the plant puppet. So there's like Little Shop, there's Rocky Horror. Like, there's definitely like an oeuvre that we're like, you know, I feel like we're helping to like continue, and that's really exciting. And you know, growing up in Australia, in Sydney, when I did, musical theatre really was not like, or new musical theatre was not a big thing there, but like Rocky Horror was a thing, like dressing up and going to like a midnight showing of Rocky Horror. And because it was Australia, usually like outdoors in the park somewhere, but like that was a thing. And so it's really cool to think about also just like the accessibility of horror genre and how expansive that is and how many people that could reach.
Anna, had you seen the film version of Teeth before starting to write the show?
No, I had not. I did my homework once Michael brought the idea to me. But honestly, Michael could have been like, let's write a musical about like a tablecloth. And I would have been like, yes. Michael was just as brilliant, you know, when we were NYU students as he is today.
I'm curious, did you update the year the show takes place in? Because I don't remember if Wikipedia was around in 2007.
Well, we don't really put it in any t particular time period. It's like certainly contemporary, but we don't, it's not set in a specific
Okay.
year.
So I have to ask, do you have a dream cast in mind for Donna Ryan, if you could have anyone?
Yes. We're not going to say though, because
Okay.
we actually do have a production on the horizon. I don't think we can like officially announce it yet, but like
Okay.
we know that the information is actually coming out in a matter of days.
Oh, okay. Exciting.
Yeah, but you know, we've been so lucky.
Well, not the casting, but about the
No,
production.
not exactly. Yeah. But you know, we have worked with because we've been working on the piece for so long, you know, I think in earnest since 2013, which is 10 plus years. So we have worked with a lot of actors on the material, and formed a lot of great relationships that way through development.
Yeah, I'm sure. The cast that's on the demo is they're just fantastic. So, and I'm super excited to hear about the future production. I know it said on your site, Anna, that it was coming in 2024. So nice. Have either of you ever seen any plays or musicals that are based on horror movies that provided inspiration for Teeth?
A
A
horror movie or horror musical?
Horror movie that provided inspiration for either a musical like or a play. Like there was Let the Right One In at St. Anne's Warehouse like 10 years ago. So things like that.
Yeah, though Carrie.
Yes.
I mean, Carrie, I think a lot of the one that you referenced, I didn't see, but Carrie was more recent. So I think it's more part of conversation. And then there are also like musicals that were based off of like horror source material, but not necessarily horror movies. Like Sweeney Todd comes up in our conversations a lot. And Sweeney Todd, I think, was originally like a very old, like graphic novel sort of thing, or like whatever they called them back in the day. So it's definitely something that, you know, we're not, you know, inventing something here. We're definitely building on something that already existed.
What about you, Michael?
Yeah, I think Harry for me is the one that sort of comes to mind, and definitely Sweeney are the two that I feel continually sort of come to the fore when we're having this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. I still haven't been able to see the current production of Sweeney, but I hope to do that soon. Have either of you seen it?
Yeah, I think we
Yeah.
both have.
No, I'm seeing it this Friday.
I saw it, I think, last Friday. It's fantastic. I mean,
Oh.
it's such a brilliant musical. I've seen productions of Sweeney that were done by high school students and almost loved it as much as like this phenomenal revival. It's just such a well-written, beautifully scored show. It's so high and so wickedly funny and also dark and moving. It like does all the things that a great musical does.
Awesome. So my last question about Teeth specifically was about, can you tell us about any future productions? But we've already touched upon that, so we will all just have to wait and see. But I just have a couple other questions just related to horror movies. An article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
Probably because of the circumstances of the lockdown, it was like a larger than life circumstance, and I think that if you are a horror movie fan, you're sort of mentally prepared for kind of intense situations and can sort of weather any storm because you have a reference point like that. I mean, I think that's also in some ways was true for me because I grew up reading like Stephen King novels. And so when the pandemic came, I immediately sort of was thinking about The Stand,
Okay, yeah.
with both the novel and the 1994 TV movie that I watched when I was in high school, and or I guess middle school actually, or junior high. And I think that like I kept thinking about it in terms of that, of like how people reacted to the outside great circumstance. And it probably did help me to sort of stay centered in a certain way. So I can imagine that being true for other other horror fans.
Anna, were you ever into reading Stephen King?
I mean, I was on my like it bent, so I read it. I don't know if I've read any other horror novels. It really like I cannot overdo how terrified I get
I can
from
definitely
horror
relate.
things.
I don't read a lot of horror novels because they're just, you can imagine too much. So
Yeah.
I'm, yeah.
It's like it's akin to like what happens when I think it's a good idea to read the news right before I go to bed. Like it just does things to my brain that are very stressful.
Michael, what's your favorite Stephen King novel?
I think, I mean, there's so many different categories of them because I've read so many of them. Carrie is I think one of his finest written, like just as a piece of literature, it's really like beautifully written, but like The Stand is like such a sprawling epic that I've returned to that one a bunch of times over the years. But like Needful Things, which I don't think ultimately in the end is that it doesn't fully deliver on its promise, but the premise of it is so strong that I just get carried away whenever I read it. But then Cujo is another novel that's again, the storytelling is just so powerful. It's almost like more than a horror movie or a horror story. It's like a character-driven piece about people in a bad situation that just plays out like something you would read about in the news. Like it's very interesting. And the movie, and it's one of the rare one of his books where the movie is almost better or as good as the novel. Like a lot of his work, the movies don't quite stand up to the novel. And I think Cujo is like a rare one where it's like both the book and the movie are so good.
I have to still watch Cujo. I've never watched it before. Did you see
Yeah.
Gerald's Game?
Oh, so I didn't even realize that one had been made into a movie. I've only read it.
Oh, okay.
But that's another one where it's like it's almost not horror book because it's just about this woman in this like really freaky circumstance.
Yeah.
And then her memories of her childhood and stuff like that.
I would highly recommend the movie version, though. It's very good. I don't know the book, obviously, but everyone that I know that has read the book has said that the movie translation is very good.
When did
So,
it come out? I like literally had never heard of it.
like 2017, maybe?
Oh, so it's like a more recent one. Okay.
Yeah. So, is there another horror movie that either one of you or each of you would like to translate into a musical? And if so, which one would it be?
This is more of a sci-fi one than horror, but I always wanted to see if I could do something with it. But I actually had my agent at the time reach out, and the studio was like, without even thinking about it, was like, no. It's this movie called Invaders from Mars.
Okay, I've definitely heard of it.
It's a remake of a movie from the 50s, but that was made in the 80s. That I, as a kid, I just loved it so much. And I just always thought that there could be, I guess I'm like really into movies about people getting like possessed by aliens and becoming and looking like regular people, but really they're aliens. And so that was just another one of those kinds of movies. And so that's one I've always thought would be an interesting translation to a musical.
That's awesome. So since you like movies about aliens looking like people, do you like The Thing?
Yes, that one I just watched during lockdown, and that was very stressful because didn't know which one of them it was, and then you did, and it was just like that was a good one. I was glad I watched that.
About you, Anna?
I don't know if this technically qualifies as horror, but there was this TV series that I watched recently called The Flight Attendant.
Okay.
Which involves, a little gore and also like plays with this idea of like perception and reality. And I thought that could make a good musical.
Oh, I will have to check that out now. I've seen all the advertisements, but I haven't watched it yet. So my last question is, I always ask everyone, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, assuming he wouldn't kill you or she, which one would it be?
Maybe Annie Wilkes.
That's a good choice.
Oh my gosh. I'm just gonna say Dawn from our musical because I think she's a cool chick.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time and talking to me. I'm so excited to see Teeth when the production is up and running. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet if you would like to be found?
You can find me for the moment. I'm trying to get off of there on Twitter and Instagram at the Living Michael Jackson on Instagram, the Living MJ on Twitter, or my website, thelivingmichaeljackson.com.
Okay, I'm looking up my Instagram name because I can't even remember what it is. I feel that it's probably the Anna K. Jacobs. That's what I am on Instagram and also at my website, which is annakjacobs.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, and best of luck with the next productions of Teeth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison. It's so good to talk to you.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Michael R. Jackson and Anna K. Jacobs. And thanks again to Anna and Michael for coming on. I'll leave links to their socials as well as where you can find out more about their upcoming production of Teeth in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.